Okay, so hello everyone, my name is Rémi Durafort. I'm a principal tech lead at Linao. And do you hear me? No? Yes, there is a lot of noise right now. I'll try to speak a bit louder right now. So I'm working at Linao and I've been working a lot on open source software and mainly recently into the Linao automation appliance, Linao automation in Lava that I will explain a bit later on, sorry. So today I will speak about a GNOME automation fairy tale. So most fairy tales start with once upon a time and end with they live happily ever after. But you always forget that now they have a really large castle with a lot of rooms and lights and obviously a large energy bill. So they decided to add home automation to their castle to just control what's going on in their castle. So they want to have one server and multiple sensors and actuators. But obviously they know that dragons are dangerous creatures. So they decided to go for an open source software that is not connected to any proprietary cloud. They want something that runs on their network only. So an obvious choice now is to go for Home Assistant, and there is even some people from Home Assistant right now in the room, for the server part. So what Home Assistant does is that it gathers data from sensors in your house, like temperature, humidity, energy consumption, and it can control devices also that are inside your network, like can control lamps, blinds, everything. And you can create automation, which is you have some data, and based on some data, you want to change the device state, closing doors or things like that. And obviously, you can also show data in dashboards, because we all love dashboards. So it's a server that will sit in your network, and you have different devices that will sensors that are attached to devices that will gather data and change the state of your house. And you have nice dashboard, which is really nice. Not mine. So now you need to have something for sensors. So obviously our characters, they want to have cheap and customizable hardware and with wide support for different sensors and actuators. So here are the most famous one that you can hack and find really quickly online. For example, for this project, I went for an ESP32, which is quite classical choice. But now you need to have a firmware, which is the software that will run on your device, that will actually do the measurement and send the data to Home Assistant. Again, they want to have something that is open source and customizable, but obviously they don't know how to program because they are fairy tale characters. But that's where ESP Home come into play. ESP Home is a tool that will allow you describe the hardware that you have in YAML, and then ESP Home will generate a firmware for you. So you don't have to program anything, you just give a description of the hardware to ESP Home and it will compile everything for you. So for example, this on the right for you is an ESP Home configuration file for a small device called a D1 Mini, doesn't really matter. And you want, so it's a D1 Mini, which is an ESP8266. It's written on the web page when you buy it. You want it to connect to your Wi-Fi, so you give your Wi-Fi credential in the file. You want OTA, so over the air update, to be available, so you don't have to connect physically on the device to the device to update it. And you know that there is a sensor attached to your device. It's an AM2320, whatever. It's important for Home Assistant to know how to drive it, but for our use case, not really. So that's all you need to define. You give that file to ESP Home, and you say ESP Home compile. It will download the toolchain, it will download the sources for the different sensors for your board, everything, and will create a firmware.bin, which is a firmware that needs to be flashed on your device. You haven't written any source, any code, anything, just describing your hardware. And then you flash it, so you take the device, you connect it physically to your PC via a serial adapter, and you flash it using ESP Home upload of the firmware. And it will just appear magically into your Home Assistant, and you will see data coming from directly from it. And as we enable OTA, so over-the-air update, the next time you want to update, you don't need to physically connect to it. Over Wi-Fi, you will be able to flash it directly. It's quite a powerful tool. So everything is working until the next release. Obviously, we all know that when you upgrade a new software, it might break in the next release. So how do we test ESP Home? So what I want to put is a continuous integration, and obviously ESP Home is doing, as a CI pipeline. They build for a large set of platforms, they do test integration with ESP Home, with Home Assistant, sorry. But they don't run any test on real hardware. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to test ESP Home Dev Branch on real hardware, and I wanted to test actual sensors because that's what is interesting. So I need a way also to change the sensor value to see that my sensor is working. So I decided to go for a W232 ETS01. Doesn't really matter. It's an ESP32 with Ethernet, which is only when you want to test something. I went for a light sensor. So this is a light sensor in the middle. That I can easily change the value of the light sensor because I have a small USB lamp. If I'm able to power on and off the USB port, I will be able to change the value of the sensor. Quite useful. So what I want to build is a GitLab pipeline, because I like GitLab, that will first build, that's easy, ESP Home compile will build it, save the firmware somewhere that I can reuse, and then run the test and generate a page, because having a nice dashboard is always always a good thing. On the test part, what I want to do, I want to pour on the board, run OTA to go to the latest version that I just built, check that the version is the right one, so OTA works, and then check the sensor and pour off. When I want to check the sensor, I want to take the base value, which is the ambient light right now, pour on the lamp, just need to pour on the USB port, get a new value that will be way higher because it's just in front of the light sensor, and pour off the lamp and again get the new base value. And the first and last base value should be more or less the same, like maybe 10% different, but not much. In order to do that, I need a way to automate my testing on hardware. That's where I use LAVA, Linaro Automation Validation Architecture. It's a software that allows to automatically test your software on your hardware, so testing ESP Home on this specific device. It's used a lot for testing bootloader, U-boot, grub, or kernel devices, or kernel directly on real devices, or even user space application if you want to. What you need to do is you need to define how LAVA will interact with your board that we call a device configuration. So how to interact with the serial, how to power on and off the board, and what you want to run, which is a job definition. And then LAVA will run that for you. It will take the device configuration and the job definition and run as many tests as you want and 24 hours a day. It's used by Kernel CI, the project for testing the Linux kernel, and also by the CIP, but I will not, you can read the slides. So what it does, LAVA will automatically power on the board, connect to the serial, interact with the bootloader if needed, send some commands to flash the device, boot the device, check that the kernel boots correctly, run the test, and power off the board. All of it automatically. So I said that you need a way to, so that's, LAVA is a software for interact, for running the test, but you need the hardware that will do the interaction, that will be able to power on the board, power off the board. You need some hardware that will do that for you. Usually we use what we call Red Relay boards, that's the green one. It's a board that where you send some TCP request to the board, it will switch on and off the relays. So if you want to control a power, you just take the cable, you cut it, you put it into the relay screw terminals, and then you can now, with just a TCP request to the board, pour on and off the power. For USB the same, you just cut the USB cable, take the red wire, and put it inside and it's working. It's easy to do, honestly. For serial, use an FTDI, which is serial to USB adapter. That's quite classical, nothing fancy. As I'm working in Linaro, we do have one box, which is this one, that has all the tools inside, all the relays, etc. So I will use that for the demo, but it's not needed. You can do that with what I presented just before. So on the LA, Linaro Automation Appliance, you can see that I have a power that will power on and off the board. It's the same as the Red Relay I shown before. I have my small lamp that I can control with the USB port in front of the lux sensor. I have my board that I want to test. And I have the serial connected with an FTDI, USB to FTDI, close to the Lego guy there. And with that, I'm able to power on and off the board and test everything. So, as I said, I need to explain to LAVA how to connect to the board, what we call a device configuration. So I need to say, this is how to interact with the command, the serial. So I'm just using TIO to connect to DevTTY USB 0. I need to be able to power on and off the board. So here are the commands that I run on my LAA. It will be your your TCP TCP command to interact with the web relay if you want to use a web relay. And with that, Lava will be able to interact with your board. Then I need to explain to Lava what I want Lava to run. So this is what we call a job definition. A job definition is made of multiple actions. Action will be what I want to deploy, what I want to boot, what I want to test. So in this case, I just want to do what we call a minimal boot, which is just boot yourself. I know what you have something already flashed on you. Just boot, and Lava will just look at the serial and wait for a specific prompt. In this case, this board will print this IP address when it's ready. So I'm just waiting for IP address, and it's a fixed IP address. So I know that it's booted. Now I need to be able to OTA. So in a test, I will call ESPOM upload the firmware. It will run the over the upgrade, and it will reboot automatically the board. Again, I have to wait that it has booted correctly with the same mechanism. And then I'm running my test, actual test that will check that the version is the right one, just an HTTP request to the board, and then do some sensor measurement. That's why I will power on the USB port, power off the USB port. I will not do a live demo because I don't have time for that, obviously. This is some pictures. It's starting to run the test. The lamp is on. You see it's really bright. And then it's off again. And I can see the difference between both. So with that, I have my GitLab pipeline building, then testing on this box my small device, and then generating a web page for showing everything. The web page is quite simple, just showing the different results for different pipelines, and it's deployed as a GitLab page, so I have everything really handy. What I want to do next is to actually test the OTA, because right now I'm doing an OTA from the latest test, and the OTA might be broken. So what I want to do is flash a known good release, OTA to the version that I want to test, reboot, run the test, and then OTA to fall back to the previous version. So I know that forward and backward OTA are still working. I also want to test with more sensors because that will be more interesting, obviously, the more sensors we try. And reach out to ESPOM developers to see what we if we can work together to integrate that into their CI. Some links if you want to see, that will be in the slides, if you want to see the gitlab.yaml, the job definition for Lava and the device configuration for Lava if you want to retry. And reach out to me if you have any question. I don't know many minutes we might have some questions. One quick question. Okay, the question is, I'm describing that there is a sensor connected to my ESP32 device, but how does ESPOM know which GPIO is used, right? Right now, it's not a GPIO, it's SPI. Okay. I-square-C, not SPI. It's I-square-C. And on each board, so on a D1 mini or on this one, ESPOM already knows on which pin SPI is connected. Yeah, in this case, Lava is just interacting with the board API. There is a ESPOM provider an API for every board. Lava is just connecting to the ESPOM API running on the board.
No time, sorry.
I can be outside if you have any questions.
Can we go back to the slides?
No.
Sorry.
Slides are uploaded on the program schedule. You can download them. You can talk to Remy outside. Thank you very much.